There are no announcements other than Jesus is Lord. And he's still ruling and reigning. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. We thank you for knowing that your word is true. Your word has the ability to change. Your word has the ability to make us more in the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, we commit this evening to you. I thank you for every brother and sisters here tonight, Father. I thank you for that which you've spoken to my heart to share. And I thank you for the reliance upon your Holy Spirit to teach that which you want taught tonight, Father. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. We ask that you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anyone remember what Pastor Mark said on 10/23? I didn't expect anyone to answer. But he made a statement on 10/23, I was looking at some of my notes, and I had written it down, and I had highlighted it. I didn't realize I'd highlighted it, so I went back, and this is what he said. Quit viewing yourself by yourself. And when I read that, the Lord says, I want you to share something with my people. Quit viewing yourself by yourself. What is the number one thing in the world today you see people doing every single day, throughout the day, all the time? They're taking selfies. They're viewing themselves all day, all the time. And they have a whole product line to enhance the picture that you're taking of yourself. They've got extensions, they've got all these things. And I started going, Lord, something's not right. He goes, no, it's been distorted. He said, I never intended for people to be in that love with themselves. And then the other aspect of it is everything in the world is designed to create an image counter to that of God. You look at all the marketing. They create all these images to get you to buy into their product. Satan has been creating an image for over 2,000 years to get you and get me and get the world to believe that God isn't real. He did it in the Garden of Eden. He said to Eve, did God really say? What was he doing? He was questioning. He was getting implanted in her head to question whether God is who he says he is, and God does what he says he's going to do. And he does. But this is where we're going to go on a little journey here. Go to Genesis chapter 1. And I found this interesting because in chapter 1, it's talking about when God is creating everything. You know, the first day, okay, this Bible's been taped together and it likes to stick. You know, the first day he created light. Second day, created the firmaments. Third day, sea, land, and vegetation. Fourth day, the heavenly bodies. Fifth day, the the animal life of sea and air. 6 day, animal life of earth. Seventh day, what did he create? Man. 6 day, thank you. So, in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26, I want to read verses 26 through 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth." Verse 27. For God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air," or birds of the air, "and over every living thing that move on the earth." Go back to verse 27. Put 27 back up there for me. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created by them. That's the first verse the Lord took me to after I read what Pastor Marcus said. Quit viewing yourself by yourself. Because the enemy has twisted. The enemy has got us looking at our image and the image of others around us instead of God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. Our focus should be trying to be more in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Not in the image and likeness of the things of this world. Not in the image and likeness of what we're being sold and marketed every single second of every day. Where do you think home shopping came from? I had the opportunity to meet the founder of home shopping. He started on the radio. But he was so good at describing what he was selling. And the reason he was selling is because he was trying to get rid of it. But all of a sudden, phone calls just started coming in. What was he doing in the listening audience on the radio? He was creating an image in their mind. He was creating an image in their mind, and they were, "I got to have this." He goes, "If it works that well on radio, can you imagine how well it's going to work on TV?" They sell millions or billions of dollars of merchandise on QVC, home shopping, because they create this image of this product. And Satan is doing the same thing with you and I in the body of Christ. He gets us off focus. He gets our eyes off of that, of the fact that we need to, our goal is to be in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Not in the image and likeness of a selfie. But, I mean, after tonight's teaching, you will not be able to walk around in a mall or a store and all of a sudden not think about these people, they're gathering all these images of themselves. That's what Pastor Mark was saying. Quit viewing yourself by yourself. But the devil's twisted it so much that that's become a focus in the world today. And it's not getting better, it's getting worse. Because Satan has twisted what our goal and purposes is. Now, it's interesting, the first time, I made a note here, first time humans are mentioned in the Bible, it talks about the importance of God's creation being in the image and likeness of God. So if it was that important to God when He was forming and making this earth for us to be in the image and likeness of God, don't you think the enemy would want us not to be in the image and likeness of Jesus? He'll do everything to get us to have a distorted vision of what that image and likeness should be. Now, most of you probably wonder what this is. I got to make a little adjustment here because the Lord told me to add something to it that I didn't think of when I brought it. Thank God it's got these adjustments. That's pretty good. It's a mirror. And the strings represent what? The cross. They represent the cross. But see, I'm going to get those out of the way right now, because that's not the focus right now. Okay. A mirror shows what? Shows an image. Is the image that you see in that mirror, is the image that you see sitting right there? Okay? That's just an image of you, right? That's not really you. Okay? It's just an image. Now, if I take a picture of Ray and store it in my phone, and when I want to think about Ray, am I actually seeing Ray, or am I seeing an image of Ray? I'm seeing an image of Ray. Okay. Can an image speak? Can an image think? Can an image respond? No, it's an image, okay? We are created in the image of God. We are not God, but we're created to be like Him and reflect what He is like. So when you stand in front of this mirror, it creates a reflection of the person standing in front of it, correct? Okay. How many of you have ever been to the carnival? Pastor Mark knows where I'm going. I was always fascinated by the fact that they had this one section, and Debbie's laughing back there, they had this one section where they had, the carnival I went to had three different mirrors. One made you look as white as this room. One made you look like you had a short, squatty body, and one made you look real tall and thin. People were overweight like the one that made them tall and thin. People who were short like the ones that made them tall and thin. So everyone had their favorite mirror, because what it did is it created a distorted image. That's what Satan's done. Satan has created a distorted image. But He sent Jesus for you and I to be able to be made in the image and likeness of Jesus. And He knows how, when we look in the mirror of God's Word, we take on the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Now I want to ask you a question. If you were to stand before that mirror, the mirror representing God, and you're going to look into that mirror, and I want you to think about this. When you first got saved, would that be a very pleasant image compared to who Jesus Christ is? Probably not. But think about where you're at in your walk with Jesus Christ now. You're not, if you were to put the two images side by side, we can do that with technology now too. You can put one picture here and one picture there. And you go, wow, I've really changed. Some like the changes, some don't like the changes. But if we were to put two different images side by side, spiritual images of what we look like when we first got saved and where we're at now, hopefully we would see a different image spiritually. Because that's what God wants. But why does God want us to have a different image spiritually? Why does He want us to look different when we look into the mirror of God's Word? Because the image of Christ that we portray, others around us see. And we are His ambassadors, and we are His representatives in the world in which we live. But images can be distorted. Now, go to 2 Corinthians, well, before you go there, go to Genesis 5. It says in verse 1, "This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, He made him in the likeness of God." Go to verse 2. "He created him male and female and blessed them and called them mankind the day they were created." Called them Adam, but they were male and female. And they were, go back to verse 1. "In the day that God created man in the likeness of God." See, we're not totally there yet. But we should be able to look into the mirror and begin to see the image of God being formed in your life and my life. Because He's forming and creating stuff in us and getting rid of stuff. Go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'm going to come back to something here in a second. Go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. You guys are quick back there. 3:18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So if this would be a spiritual mirror, when you first looked in it, it wasn't a pretty sight. You're going, now, we always think we look better than we do. That's why people love selfies. And that's why Pastor Mark says, quit viewing yourself by yourself. We can look at ourselves and go, pretty good. I'm pretty spiritual today. You know, and we walk around with our chests out and patting ourselves on the back. And then we get into the mirror of God's Word, and we go, I fall short here. I fall short there. But it says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed." You and I are being transformed. We're being transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. We're being made into that image that when you take your last breath and I take my last breath, we're not going to see Ruth in this mirror. We're not going to see ourselves in that mirror. And God's not going to see our image in that mirror. He's going to see the image and likeness of Jesus Christ because of the transformation that has taken place in your life and my life. I'm like, praise God. Now then, Mirrors comes in all shapes and sizes. That's a pretty big mirror. You know, women would love this mirror because it's full length. Okay? Now, this is another mirror. This mirror allows us to see a different image. Doesn't allow us to see a full image, does it? Allows us to see partial image. Oh, I can see my ear. Okay? It allows us to see different images. But if God is our standard and Jesus is the image and the image that we want to be like, we want to be made in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, He's the one we should be mirroring ourselves after, correct? Okay. I'm going to do a little test here. If I turn this mirror away from Jesus, what am I seeing? Well, you're not seeing the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And I'm not seeing the image that's on this side of the mirror. But yet that's what we do sometimes, because we stop looking if Jesus is the image that we're wanting to see in that mirror, and we turn it away, guess what we're doing? We're not looking unto Jesus. We're not looking unto God anymore. That's not the image and likeness we're striving for. We've turned away. And guess what? When we turn away from looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we turn away from wanting to be in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, what kind of image are we portraying to those around us? Sometimes it can be, but we're not portraying to those that are seeing the image we're portraying at that moment a Christ-like image. We're portraying another image. Now, if I take this and cover up part of the mirror, are you able to see a full image? If I take this and cover up the mirror, are you able to see a full image? No. What have you done? Well, you've put an object between you and the image that God is wanting you to look to. He's wanting you to look unto Him and the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden you put something between you and God. It affects what others see, and it doesn't allow you to see the complete picture that God has for your life in that situation and circumstances, because you've partially blocked what God wants you to see. You know, and we do these things, we do these things very subtly. You know, we don't even think about it. And that's why that statement that Pastor Mark made, just, it really pierced my heart. Because I started seeing all these things that we do. And then you start looking at a mirror, and you start looking at all the uses of a mirror and how images get distorted. I'm like, Lord, we do that with you, don't you? Don't we? He goes, yeah, you do. And how many times do you take a mirror, and you really should be looking at what's in that mirror, but we're going, we're looking all around. We're looking at all the other images. And Debbie's laughing again. We're looking at all these other images. And we're not looking at Jesus Christ and the image and likeness that He wants us to be. We're looking around all these other things that are going on. And Satan loves it when we do that. Because we get our spiritual focus off of what God wants us to do. He wants us to be made in the image and likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Go to Colossians 3, please. Colossians 3, verse 10. It says, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. In the image of who? The one who created you. Who created you? God did. Whose image and likeness are we striving to be like? Jesus. It says, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. When our life and we get our focus off the image of Jesus Christ, we are not going to be producing the image to those around us that we should be producing. Why? Because if we go down to verse 12 through 17, it explains why we can create images that are not like Jesus Christ. Because in verse 12 it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. You know, when we're not showing tender mercy, we're not showing kindness, when we're not showing humility, we're not showing meekness, and we're not being long-suffering, are we producing an image and likeness of Jesus Christ? No, we're not. Go to verse 13. Forbearing or bearing with one another. Oh, how many times do we get impatient? When are they ever going to learn? How long, how many times do they have to be told that before they're going to get it right? Is that the image and likeness of Jesus Christ that we want to portray in that situation? No, because it says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Well, you just don't understand. You don't understand what that person did to me. Let me ask you a question. Has anyone ever done anything to you or me worse than what Jesus had to take when He was crucified, beaten, and hung on a cross? No. But what did Jesus say when He was hanging on that cross? Amen. See, when we're able to forgive the unforgivable, and we're able to forgive those who said that you shouldn't be forgiven, what image are we showing? We're showing the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, because that's exactly what He did on the cross. That's exactly what He spoke out of His mouth. And yet, we will still say, Pastor, you just don't understand what that person said to me. You just don't understand what that person did to me. I've had some terrible things happen in my life by so-called good people, unsaved and saved. But you know what? Still got to forgive them. Still got to forgive them. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Well, you just can't believe what so-and-so said about me. Did people say bad things about Jesus when he walked this earth? Did he get falsely accused? Did he get ridiculed? Did he get belittled? Did he have lies spoken about him? But that's the image and likeness that we are to portray, because as Christ forgave those who rightfully abused and used him, he had to forgive them. But somewhere along the line, we think we're exempt. But we're not. Not if we want to be truly the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. We have to forgive. Verse 14. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Who is the greatest example of love demonstrated in this earth? Jesus. Jesus was. He did everything he did while he walked this earth and when he hung on that cross out of love. He did that. Go to 15, please. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Next week is what? Thanksgiving. Should Thanksgiving be one day out of the year? Should be every day. If we're truly in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, those around us, when they see the image that's in this mirror, they should see that we're thankful. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In whatsoever you do, in word or deed, what does that exclude or leave out? I don't care what language you speak. Nada, zilch, whatever. There is nothing. It doesn't leave anything out. It includes everything. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. Because that allows us to be seen in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot and without wrinkle. Okay, Lord, I'm going to be obedient here. Just hold with me a second. It's not in my notes, so I'm going to go to... Go to John 17, verse 21 for me, please. If you can put 20 and 21 up together, that would be nice. John, there you go. Yes, please. Says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. The world is going to know because of the image of Jesus Christ that is in your life and my life. They're going to know, as he says here, who we belong to. It says that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. They're going to know. They're going to know by the image of Jesus Christ that you and I portray. Go back to Colossians chapter 3, please. All those verses that we just read in Colossians, starting in verse 10 all the way down to 17. We've all read those before, haven't we? Most of us have a lot of those memorized. I read them early this morning. I read them when I got home before I came here tonight. And when I read them again tonight, the Lord asked me a question. Because this is talking about a new man. It's talking about a new man. What does a new man in Jesus Christ produce? What was that? It produces a new image of who you are. A new man in Jesus Christ will produce a new image. You won't be that same old man. Just go back to a reunion. There's all these people at the reunion to remember what the old man was like. And they'll try to resurrect that old image. And after they talk to you for a few minutes, they go, wow, you're not that same person. What happened? That's right. Jesus, you are now portraying the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, and they no longer see that old man. They see the new man, Jesus Christ. They see the image of Jesus Christ being lived in your life. I got notes, but the Lord is not having me going through them in order, so I got to bear with me a second. Yeah, go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, but we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, looking into the mirror, the glory of the Lord, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You and I are being transformed into that image. But see, if we don't keep that image before us, if we don't keep the image and likeness of Jesus Christ before us, we can cause that image that we see to be tainted, to be distorted, just like those mirrors at the carnival. We look into it, we either like what we see or we laugh at what we see. But it's still an image of what we see. You and I portray an image of who we are. What is God's desire for your life and my life? To be made into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. We say it all the time to one another. I remember Pastor Bill sharing with me one time. And he used to say this all the time. And when he first said it to me, I'm like, wow, that's weird. But you know, Pastor Bill, Pastor Mark does it now too. They hit you with these bombshells and then you just kind of smile and kind of walk away. Because they know that God's going to go to work on that bombshell. And I remember asking Pastor Bill a question one time. I said, Pastor Bill, how do you keep everything focused? He goes, I've got eternity stamped on my forehead. I said, you got what? I said, there's nothing stamped on your forehead. He goes, spiritually there is. Spiritually I've got eternity stamped on my forehead. So then later I asked him, I said, Pastor Bill, can you expound a little bit more, if you got a few minutes, can you expound a little bit more on eternity stamped on your forehead? He says, I have the image and likeness of Jesus Christ ever before me. That's the only thing that I want to know. I want to know Jesus, and I want to be in the image and likeness of Jesus, God's Son. That's all I want. If I keep my focus on that, I'll be fine. But he says, as soon as I get my focus off of that image and likeness of Jesus Christ, that image gets distorted. I turn it away. I have it looking at other things. He goes, I can get off track just like that. And then, of course, he went to his farmer example because he knew I grew up on the farm. He goes, what happens when the single tire on a tractor that's pulling the plow doesn't stay in the furrow? He goes, as soon as that tire comes out, that plow will pop out and you'll no longer be turning over that furrow soil of that ground. He goes, that tire has to stay in the furrow. He says, you have a single tire on the tire that's in the furrow and you have dualies on the outside. But he goes, you have to stay on that straight and narrow. He He says, that's why the image and likeness of Jesus Christ always has to be before me. I always have to have that as my focus because I don't want to get out of that furrow. I want to stay. I want to turn over that precious soil in the Word of God. Go to 1 John chapter 3. Have we arrived? Have you arrived? Are you in the perfect image and likeness of Jesus Christ? Am I in the perfect image and likeness of Jesus Christ? Now, don't everyone point out all my faults, okay? I can give you a list probably longer than the one you have, okay? But in 1 John 3:2, but it says, Beloved, yeah, okay. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And when we see Him as He is, what are you are going to see? Are you going to see your image and reflection? Or are you going to see the image and likeness of Jesus Christ? You're going to see the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Have you ever gone, you just really screwed up, and you get alone with God, and you get down on your knees, and you're just bawling your eyes out and just crying out to God, oh, God, forgive me. And you start listing all these things you've done, which is good. And you get done, and you hear the still, small voice go, what are you talking about? Because you asked God to forgive you. And I remember one time he flashed a little slate board. There was nothing on it. It was perfectly white. It was perfectly clean. He goes, what are you talking about? Because he didn't see that. He saw the image and likeness. He saw what Jesus Christ had done on that cross. And he saw that that which I'd committed, that which I was done, he didn't see it. All he saw was Jesus and the image and likeness of his son Jesus. That's all he saw. I'm like, you know this? He goes, no, I don't see it. It's been wiped clean. That's the image and likeness. That's the image and likeness that he wants us to see. God is making you and I into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. You and I are being transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. The image and likeness of God. And how is he doing that? Well, let's see. That's not where it's at, Lord. I know what part of the page it's at, but where is that? Where God says we're being transformed into the image and likeness of. Ah, thank you. That's it. That's it, because I had that written down and my notes were all messed up, so I rewrote my notes and I left that out. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We've been transformed. He's transforming you and I into the image and likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. God did that for you and I. And he's still doing it today. And we are so hard on ourselves sometimes because we forget, as many selfies as we take, we're not God. And we can't transform ourselves into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. We have to examine ourselves in the mirror of God's Word. We have to examine ourselves to see how we line up and what image we're producing based upon the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. We have to do that. But he's the one that's changing you and I into the image and likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's so exciting. It frees you. It frees you. You want to put that song on back there for me. I got a song I'm going to play. And then I'm going to conclude this and wrap it up. Just listen to the song.
Stepping on glass, we break along life's paths, our fear and loss, we bring it all to you. Together, the image of God.
What I liked about that song, we come in fragments. We come in broken pieces. We come discolored. We come disfigured. But yet God loves us so much that He allows Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit to transform us and to remake us into the image and likeness of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. That is miraculous. That the God of all creation would choose to do that for you and I. So that we can look into the spiritual mirror and be able to see the transformation. I know most everyone in here. And I remember when I first met some of you. You remember when you first met me. I had fragments. I had broken pieces. If you really want to know how much of a mess I was, ask my wife. She's probably not going to tell you because she doesn't want to bring up the old man. Okay? But I'm not that person anymore. That's not the image and likeness that I want people to see anymore. Because that image and likeness that I was living at that time was causing me to fall into the exact plan and purposes that Satan had to deceive me. Because he was allowing me to look at all these other images and say, oh, that's success. Oh, that's success. Oh, that makes you a man. Oh, that makes you successful. Those were all false images. None of those presented the true image of Jesus Christ. And that's, the world is still doing that today. Every bit of merchandise we buy, everything that's done in the commercial realm is done with images to get you to either want it, desire it, or to go broke over it. That's what the world does. The greatest advertisers in the world will tell you that. They know how to appeal to our flesh. See, God wants us to get past the appeal of the flesh and get to the spiritual appeal of really desiring to be in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us and showing us an example of someone who walked as a man upon this earth, remained as a Son of God, resisted all the things that were shown him that could have caused him to stumble or mess up your plan of salvation, but he didn't, Father. He's the one we look to now, Father, because you desire that we would all be in the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. We don't have the ability within ourselves to do that, but we know that your Word has the ability to transform us, to make us into a new man, to take all those broken pieces, all those discolorations, all those mars that we have encountered in our life and make us into a new creation after the likeness and image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.